scripture reading today, will you turn with me to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John? John chapter 6. And we'll read from verse 23.
Lord Jesus had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiplied them to feed the many thousands who were present. When they found him on the other side of the sea, John chapter 6, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye should seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? We're reading in John 6, beginning with verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, if you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Perhaps one of the portions of Scripture that we give first to people is the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is written in very simple language. It speaks about bread, it speaks about doors, about things that we're all familiar with. Very, very simple language. Someone has said that the Gospel of John is simply, profoundly simple and simply profound. No one has ever plumbed the depths of this book. John tells us the reason why he, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote this book. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. I want to think particularly this morning with you just the one verse that was in our reading. It's the 37th verse, where the Lord Jesus says, All the Father giveth me will come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. First of all, we want to consider who the speaker is that says these words. It's none other than the Son of God, the one who says, I am the truth. The one who said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The one who says, my words shall judge you in that day. So it's a very solemn thing to hear the words of Christ, because the words of Christ are going to sit in judgment on your life and mine. God manifests his speaking. And when God speaks, we have something that is absolutely reliable. And unlike the words of men that soon are forgotten, these words will stand forever. In Titus 1, verse 2, we read, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. If there's one thing that men are capable of, it's lying. Psalm 58, it says that man goes astray from his mother's womb speaking lies. You never have to sit down and tell somebody, now listen, I want to give you a lesson. This is the way you tell a lie. Don't have to worry about that. You can forget that. You're a little kid, that little innocent little like 2 years or 3 years old, looks up into your face and lies through its teeth. Looks so beautiful, but you learn early that even the youngest child can lie and do lie to you. But the scripture says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it? And shall he not make it good? God is going to live up to his word, absolutely. Solomon said, when he dedicated the temple to God, there has not failed one word of all thy good promise. Wonderful thing to take a stand on what God says. The Lord Jesus is the one that speaks here. And in this verse, there are two interesting things, two remarkable things. First of all, there's a prophecy. All the Father giveth me will come to me. He doesn't say how they're going to come. He doesn't say when they're going to come. He doesn't say where they're going to come from, but they're coming. And the Bible tells us that the song in heaven is going to be this. And it's addressed to the Lord Jesus. Thou art worthy. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's the only way anybody's going to get there because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people, there is not going to be one tribe, one color, red, yellow, black, and white. We used to sing in Sunday school, Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious to the Father. There's going to be stuff from every nation under heaven, but he's not going to save the whole all the nations of the world. He says he's going to save them out of the nations of the world. All the Father giveth me will come to me. The Lord makes no prophecy about their coming, but they're all coming. Because the only way that anybody's going to be saved is to come to Christ. Now, some of the people that came to Christ in the Old Testament, they didn't realize who they were coming to. Thought the only thing they knew about him was that he was the Creator. The Bible says, without him, there's not anything made in love of him. They came to him as the Creator. And Romans chapter 1 tells us that no man is going to have any excuse for not coming to God. Because God preaches a message every day to men. If you don't open this Bible, God is preaching the message. It says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, not muddly seen, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made to the world without excuse. No person on earth anywhere will have any excuse for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, when you reject the Creator, you reject the Creator as well. Because that's what God tells us in the opening of his book. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And it says the Word, the one who he says created all things, became flesh. And dwelt among us. It's the same one that John the Baptist pointed the finger at later in that first chapter of John's Gospel and said, behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. There are people who are going to be in heaven that didn't realize that they got there, that they got there with the work of Christ in the world. The only thing you have to do is to put your faith in him. It is the salvation in heaven. Not only am I about to give some justice, but when I am about to save. God said to Israel, when I see the blood, it will pass over you. He didn't say when you see the blood. It's the value that God puts in the work of Christ to save. Not the value you put on it because sometimes the value we put on is very low indeed. But to God, the blood of Christ is of inestimable value. So there's a prophecy. No one will have any excuse for not being saved. Nobody. If you're lost, the only person going to be able to blame is not your neighbor, not the truth that is living the way you thought it. Wonderful thing to point the fingers the other fellow back and see the fall from his life and her life and her life. God Almighty. willing that any should perish. If you perish, it's your fault, not his fault. No one will ever be able to say, I want to be saved, and God wouldn't save me. Forget about that. That's not going to be an excuse to stand mustard in the presence of God. Because God said, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. The scripture says God will have all men to be saved. All men are not going to be saved. And the reason why is that you resist God's will for your life. That's the only reason people are lost. The Lord Jesus said, you remember in John chapter 5 and verse 40, ye will not. He didn't say you could not. Ye will not come to me if you might have life. All the Father giveth me will come to me. Isn't it a wonderful thing, though, to think of the fact that God once gave a cup to his son? We were thinking about that earlier this morning. The Lord Jesus said, the cup which my Father has given me, my Father should have given me, the one who loves me. He said the Father loved him, and the cup that the Father gave him, what was it? It was a cross. Great gift, which is right. And yet the scripture says the Father sent the Son. Let's say God says the Father sent the Son, the one who loves the Son, sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. They went both of them together. The Son said, he said, wherever am I, send me. And he came to this world willingly, voluntarily, to give his life a ransom for many. If God would have sent his Son unwillingly to the cross, that would have been injustice. Well, not an injustice when Christ gave himself. The apostle could say, the Son of God loved me. He gave himself for me. That's a wonderful thing to think of that. I'm saved because Christ freely gave himself. I mean, Paul said, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, but everybody can say the same. We think sometimes, love it for me alone. The Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendor of the sky. Was it for me? Was it for me he came to die? It was for me. It was for me. Yes, all for me. Oh, love of God. So great. So free. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me. He died for me, my Lord and King. The Apostle Paul is the only one that could say the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Every believer could say it in truth. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. But the Father did not only give the Son of God. Every believer will only be able to say, the Father gave me to his Son. Seven times over, in John 17, in his prayer, the Lord Jesus refers to us as those whom the Father has given me. The Father has given me. He gave me the cup. And I bore your sin in my own body in the tree. But he gave me you. Every believer is a part of Christ's purchased wife, Christ. It can say in the language of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the church which he has purchased with his own blood. Bought and paid for. Even bought with a price. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. The wonderful thing about that is that God is no Indian giver. Sometimes we think about people being Indian givers. You know what an Indian giver is? The person gives you something they want it right back. But God is no Indian giver. Those he has given to Christ, he's not going to say, hey, I want that one back. He or she wasn't as faithful as they should have been. Give that one back. Never going to do that. All of the Father's givers will come to me. There's a lovely verse in John chapter 10, one we're very familiar with us, that assures us who do come or who have come with the security that we have in Christ. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's a double negative there, they shall never perish. case you doubt the first never, he says it twice, they shall never, never thirst. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. The Father has given us to his Son, but we're the Father's children. And so he still has them, even though he's given us to his Son as his reward for Calvary, if I may put it that way. And so that verse tells, those verses tell us that we're both in the Father's hands and in the Son's hands as well. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The words that we need to think about, particularly, are the words, come to me. We were singing a little while ago, only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? You have to come. He's going to save anybody that doesn't come. You don't have to leave your seat. Come. You don't have to come to a church to come. But you need to come. You need to come to a person. All that the Father given me will come to me, the Lord Jesus says. So every believer is a gift of God. The Father to his Son. And there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus, as the scripture says, shall see in the fruit of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I confess that that's a very difficult thing for me to understand, how the Son of God is going to say it was worth it all. It was worth the sacrifice that I made to redeem men and women and boys and girls to myself. God's purpose is to people heaven with redeemed saints who are going to be made like the Son of God. In John 1 and verse 12, it tells us how we become children of God. It says, to as many as receive him, the many who believe in him. You trust in him. You come to him by faith. To as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood. You can't inherit it. Your father may be a Christian. Your mother may be a Christian. Your brother may be a Christian. Your sister may be a Christian. But that doesn't make you one. You cannot inherit it. It's not of blood. It cannot be passed on. My dad used to say that my mother and son lived in New York, but all they did produce was far left. In other words, we needed to get this new life ourselves. They couldn't pass it on to us by inheritance. It's not of blood. It's not of the will of man. No pope, no preacher, no priest can give it to you. It says it's not of the will of the flesh. You can't get it. You can't earn it. Nothing you can do will ever bring it to you. No work. The Bible says, by grace we are saved through faith, and have none of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. You can have preached the gospel for 50 years, but when you get to heaven, you're going to have to say, oh, indeed, we'll say, I'm going to love it, I'm going to go. No one deserves it. It's a gift of God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We were singing a little while ago, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me, if there my burden so upon liberty, Calvary. It's by the grace of God and by nothing else that we can ever be saved. God's gift to us is his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life. And God's gifts to the Son are you and me. And the Lord Jesus calls us that seven times over in John 17. All that the Father has given me, he said, I should lose nothing. He's going to raise it up as we were reading in the last day. What a wonderful sense of security that gives us. All the Father giveth me shall
condemnation. There's at least millions included in that word, all. Countless millions. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're in the number. Well, the Bible tells us how you can know that you're in the number. How do I know that I'm one that's been given by the Father to the Son? Well, the next part of the verse is a promise. The first is a prediction. All the Father giveth me will come to me. The next part of the verse is a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He holds out to all men everywhere. That word him, it doesn't necessarily, it's a generic term. It means men and women, boys and girls. Him, you have to come as an individual. All that encompasses everybody. But him, that's you, that's me. It's a him that cometh to me. I would in no wise cast out. And that verse guarantees, first of all, it guarantees our acceptance. That's implied. Doesn't say that. He says that you, those that do come in, they'll never throw out. This is a bad one. I'll throw that one out. This is a bad one. I'll throw that one out. I'll throw another guy. He guarantees to keep everyone that comes to him. That's a wonderful thing, that our salvation does not depend on us. It depends on our Savior. And the Bible says we're being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forward as yet. Things future, nor things that are now, not all things below or above, can make him his purpose for goer sever my soul from his love. My name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart, they remain in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure as sure as the promise is given. More happy, more happy, more happy, but not more sure. The soul of the blessed of heaven. He which hath begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that my salvation does depend on me. Depends on the Savior. He promised that every believer be sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. We're being kept by the power of God. It's a guarantee to each individual. Simple word, come, isn't it? You're a little child can understand it. You don't have to be a rose child to understand it. Come. You say to a little kid, come. You say, wait a minute, I don't want to quite understand that. It's a little too difficult. But you say, come. Come to daddy. Come to mother. And the little kid looks at you. It's like they're giving you something in Greek. No, they don't look at it that way. Come. They fall on their face in the process. It's just wherever they want. So God makes it very simple. He just says, come. Come. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus says. All ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says, come. That's the only condition. Come to Christ. I come to church. That's a good idea, but that isn't what he's talking about. The salvation is not in a building or in the people that are in this building. It's in Christ alone. God makes it very simple. Come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Somebody said, who can come? Well, just take the word C-O-M-E. But children, they can come. We used to sing in Sunday school, you're not too young to come to Jesus. We love the little child, and I need him. He needs me. So how happy I would be if I come down. Some of us would say early in life, before Christian home, God has mercy, did that for us, building up to our credit. And, I need to write some lines you today. Some of us come to Christian. Many of us five. I've had somebody to meet. He's been 40 years old. God receives at any age. Fast to come. Old people can come. You're not too old to come to the Lord Jesus either. Some people come in this family at their age. Some people on their deathbed. Last note of breathing your life like people in the cross. So they come. Just in time. Still is. These people are satisfied with business life. And, you know, they're not giving too much thought about eternity. Those people can come.
And he, everybody can come. Rich or poor, high and low, all can come. But each one must come individually.
Every once in a while, somebody will have a good 2% of the tax rate off, but let's just quadruple. Do you know about what's true about all those groups? They all come one at a time. Each dog came to a bit. That's the way it is. Each one is going to be individual. If you want to go to the system, you have to go to the system.
Maybe your father, maybe your brother was saved before you, or your mother was saved before you, somebody else, but you, not that we take turns, but we have to come individually to Christ. Nobody can come for you. You must come as an individual to the Lord Jesus. And he guarantees to receive whosoever comes. Look in the New Testament. You never find anyone that came to Christ and was rejected. No. There were those that professed to come and turned away from him. All that came to him, he received. Without question. And that's what he says here. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Many years ago, in the city of Chicago, there was a man by the name of Henry Morehouse. He was from Britain. I forget where he was from exactly. But anyway, he was known as a boy preacher. He looked very young, even though he was 40 or so. And he kept after B.L. Moody, kept after because he wanted to preach at B.L. Moody's church in Chicago. And so finally, Moody was going to be away for part of the week. He said, just tell the young man to come and preach. He spoke there every night for a week. When Moody got back, he asked, well, how's the preacher doing? He said, well, come in here and preach. He preached for 1 week at John 3:16. Every night, on John 3:16. And one night, he spoke on whosoever. Whosoever. There was a fellow that wrote a good many of our hymns. Died at the age of 38 in a railroad accident, burned, he and his wife to death. He was there that night when he spoke on the word whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever! Whosoever! Well, who is whosoever? Well, he listened to Henry Morehouse, the boy preacher, and he went home that night, having heard that message in whosoever, and he wrote a hymn. Whosoever heareth, shout the sound. Tell the joyful news, wherever man is found, whosoever will, may come. Whosoever cometh, need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, his life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. The only thing that stands between you and coming to Christ is your will. Ye will not come to me, the Lord Jesus said, that you might have life. He stands ready, willing, and able to save all that come unto God by him, but you have to come. I wonder if there's ever been a time in your experience when you said, Lord Jesus, I want to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul, break down every fetter, cast out every foe, wash me, that I shall be whiter than snow. You have to come. Him that cometh to me, I will end. No reason, whatever that can be due, to keep you, keep me from saving you. Sometimes people are looking for the answer way down the road and for the immediate. And we don't need to worry about the Lord keeping us. What we need to worry about is coming in the first place. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, which tells us he's going to keep those that do come. Ada Abershone wrote, he's a Savior who died our salvation to win. He's a Savior that knows how to keep us from sin. Yes. He is the Savior you need. And He is the Savior indeed. Sometimes people are looking for a peculiar feeling rather than simply resting on what God's Word says. We're looking for an experience rather than just taking Him at His Word. We think it's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His Word, just to rest upon His promises, just to know that's the Lord. Someone once wrote, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God, naught else is worth believing. For though my heart should feel condemned for want of some good token, there is one greater than my heart, whose word cannot be broken. So I'll trust in God's unchanging word, till soul and body sever, for though all things shall pass away, my word, His word shall stand forever. It's been 30 years ago. Some of you older ones here will remember that. 30 years ago, I was in a hospital in Miami, Florida. An operation for cancer. We heard about Brother Neil Dougal having cancer. They took out 5 feet of my intestine, 4 feet of one foot of the other, your large and your small intestine. I lost 40 pounds. During that time, not knowing what your future is immediately, do some serious thinking. And one day, it was Mother's Day, because I was in from May the 1st to June the 2nd, 1960, 38 years ago. Dr. Roy Angel, the pastor of the Central Baptist Church, was preaching in the air. And it was Mother's Day. He was speaking to mothers particularly, and he told this story. He told the story of one of the presidents of the United States, William McKinley. William McKinley was a bachelor. He and his mother were very close. He was from the state of Ohio. When he was in Ohio, he often saw his mother, but he was in Washington. He was the president. He kept in touch. His mother became very ill and was not expected to live. He had the presidential train all fired up, ready to go at a moment's notice to see his dying mother. They sent him word that she was not expected to live, so he sent a telegram back home. A telegram of 5 words. Tell mother I'll be there. So he started out. Someone picked that up in the newspaper business. They published this telegram to his mother. Tell mother I'll be there. And wrote a hymn. When I was but a little child, how well I recollect. I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. But now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my darling mother I'll be there. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Perhaps your mother is already over heaven. You can't say, I'll be there. You still have not trusted Christ as Savior. You put it off and put it off and put it off, and you've never come to the point of saying, Lord Jesus, I'm going to come just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood. To thee was blessed and cleansed these spots, O Lamb of God. I love these words. Just as I am, don't try and hurry up yourself. I will receive the welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Perhaps you're a father or mother here, and you have a son or a daughter that's still out there. You've prayed for years. But don't give up. Pray. Keep on. Pray. Our son David, blessed be the Lord.
be 9 years. Oh, it'll be 8 years.
It was recorded by the Scottish Festival Choir. Some of you have heard it. And David people love to hear them sing. And they had one song that they sang with special favor. It goes something like this. We'll all be there. We'll all be there. Praise the Lord, we'll all be there. Isn't it a wonderful thing? If you can say of your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your children, praise the Lord, we're going to be there. Lord, here am I, with the children, without getting it. We'll all be there. We should pray. Work with that end. Our children have to say, we can't stay. We can live Christ. We're grateful, our Father, for this meditation of thy word. Thankful for the promise of the Lord Jesus made. The prophecy of the promise. All that the Father gives us will come to us. Thankful that we can ensure that we'll be among that number. Give us by thee to thy Son. Receive that invitation to the condemnation of the living and God. I will receive and I will tell life. Part of the life of us, you forever in the house, the child is all the death, and say a question.